as a church participated in Christmas in August, and I wanted to give you an update because we got the sweetest, most beautiful thank you note from the church that we helped. So our church that most of us sent to, I think some of you sent a few things to a couple other churches, but the church that the majority of us sent things to was in Peru, Indiana. So central Indiana. They were a 2020 church plant, and it's a very small community, and most of the people, even in the church plant, did not understand what it meant to be part of the Southern Baptist family. They didn't understand that we come together and we help each other. So what we did when we sent gifts and gift cards and gift items and food items to them to be able to give out to the community, we encouraged the church itself. They are new believers. They are new Southern Baptists. So we encouraged them. And then we were also able to help the church send out buddy bags for the extended break, because most of the children get one meal at home, and that's all the family can afford to feed them. So we were able to send home, the church there was able to send home 525 buddy bags for the extended break. And then they were also able to reach out and we helped them be able to give a $25 Amazon gift card to each teacher, as long as with a personal note from the church. And they shared one of the social media posts that came from that in their community. It says, Victoria came home from school today with a bag of snacks and all kinds of things. Easy Mac, oatmeal, crackers, ramen, SpaghettiOs, etc. She said every student received one. How wonderful was that? A lot of kids get most of their food while at school, so to send home something like this is a blessing. The tag on the bag says it's from Cornerstone Fellowship Church. Thank you. With your help, we were able to accomplish something far greater than we would have dreamed of doing on our own. So that is what being part of the Southern Baptist Convention lets us be a part of. And I appreciate your generosity as a church.
I don't think I need this. Are you sure? There it is. Do what? Well, we didn't have this back when I grew up. I was taught to speak loud enough so everybody could hear me. All right, I'm going to reiterate a youth announcement we made last week, an event coming up called Merge 2025. It's for the youth in Middle Georgia from grade 6 through 12. Now, it's going to be on Friday night, February the 28th, and Saturday all day, March the 1st. The cost will be $15. Belinda said to make sure I said that they will not be spending the night. But if you are interested in this, you need to contact and register with Belinda before Valentine's Day. All right, and she gave me another one for today. You know, Vacation Bible School is coming up before you know it. And there's going to be a training for leaders on February the 22nd from 9 to 3 in Cochran. And if you're interested in attending that, you need to call the office by February the 19th. And then we have an announcement here of the statewide evangelism conference. This is a big deal. It's going to be in Warner Robins this year, so it's close. It's going to be on Sunday, February the 23rd, from 5 p.m. to 8, and then on Monday the 24th, from 8 to lunch. So if you're interested in that, you need to register for that by February the 19th. Get to the others. We made another announcement, and it was on our board earlier, about the deacons training, which was supposed to be tomorrow night, and we've had to postpone that until February the 18th. That's a Tuesday night, and it begins at 6, goes to 8, and a meal is provided. Now, this training is for all current and active and non-active deacons and any other male that thinks they would like to serve as a deacon at any time. We encourage you to attend this training. And then on February the 23rd, we're going to have a joint service between First Baptist Church and Mar de Galilea, and a meal, a covered dish afterwards. And also on the 23rd, we're going to do the Lord's Supper, which you surely want to mark on your calendar and be here for that. Okay, let's prepare our minds and hearts for worship. Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you and praise your name, for in perfect faithfulness you have done wonderful things, things planned long ago. Isaiah 25:1. Join me in prayer, please. Our gracious Heavenly Father, once again, we enter into your house, Lord. We come into this house, Lord, to lift praises unto your name, Lord, thanking you for the many gifts that you have given us. We ask at this time, Lord, that there are many needs in our church and our community. And we pray for each one of those, Lord. Many of them we don't even know about yet, but you do. And we have full confidence that you can handle anything. We pray that you be with us this morning as we hear the words that you have laid upon Brother Dennis's heart for us to take and use in our lives. In his name we pray, amen.
Amen.
We received a late word that Miss Lisa's grandbaby was in the hospital. We want to be praying for them, amen.
Amen.
So we've filling in for Miss Lisa today. And God is good all the time and all the time.
God is good.
Now that was pretty good, Pastor. What do you think? How'd we do there? But I think we can do better. God is good.
God is good.
And all the time.
God is good.
Let's stand and testify.
God is good. All the time, he put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, his light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. God is good.
And he is good.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
So good to be in the house of the Lord today.
Amen.
It's a great day. I have my heart. Do you have yours?
Oh.
If you do not have yours, our children and youth are giving them away, so you can give you one. We thank you so much for Miss Belinda and for what they're doing and all those who are serving with the children and the youth. Praise the Lord for their lives. So thank God. I just want to welcome you first time, second time. If this is your first or second time, we'd love to get information from you. There's a care card here. If you just put it on the offering plate, we'd love if you have any needs, any prayer. And at the end of the service today, we're going to take a couple of minutes to pray. We need to pray. We need to seek the Lord. We have some folks that need our prayers, and we need to pray for one another as well. We are praying for revival. Amen. We want to see revival and take place in Fort Valley, Georgia. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen.
All right. Well, I'm going to ask you to remain standing. If you need to sit down, feel free to sit down. But we're going to sing. You know, in God's Word, there's an incredible story about a man named Job who suffered more than we can possibly imagine. I don't think we can really imagine the suffering he went through. But in the midst of his trials, Job made this incredible statement. He said, "The Lord has given, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." A great statement of faith. And I hope today we can stand on that same faith that God is our strength and our shield. Amen. Let's Amen. Sing, Blessed Be Your Name.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. And every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. And when the darkness closes in, Lord, blessed be your name, and blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun is shining down on me, when the world's all that it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. And every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away, you give and take away, my heart will choose. Blessed be your name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
Amen.
All the great hymns of faith that we've sung through the years. This one, number 310, Blessed Be the Name.
Blessed be the name, blessed be the name. the name of the Lord. When Jesus washed my sins away, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Good singing.
Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you today thanking you for the many blessings that you give us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for those blessings that we really don't know anything about. We live such blessed lives, and it's all because of your grace, Lord. We ask now, Lord, that you accept these gifts as a part of our devotion and love.
Sing what? ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Ah, ah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Seems like we're having church in here today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's exciting. It's the Spirit. It's the Spirit of God. That's what it is. So we give God the glory. We give God the glory for everything, and we thank you very much. Thank you for your patience with us as we go through the minor prophets. It's a new experience, but I hope that you're enjoying, and I hope that we are all being challenged. You know, as we continue the minor prophets today, we have a very famous prophet, Jonah. Jonah. I'm sure that you have read the book of Jonah multiple times if you have been in church. But if you have not been in church, you will learn more about him today. So I'm going to ask you to look for the book of Jonah, and we're going to read the first three verses. And I'm going to ask you to stand in chapter 1:1-3, and I'm going to ask you to stand in reverence to God's holy word. If you do not have a Bible, maybe we should have some Bibles in front of you and or behind you, and we are in Jonah chapter 1, verse 1-3. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Father, we ask that you speak to us. Father, you know where we are, you know where we stand, you know where we are right now in 2025, February, Father, and you know where we are, you know what we're going through. And so, Father, we just present ourselves to you today and ask you to just speak to us, to minister to us, to give us a sense of direction. Will you, Father, will you give us wisdom as we continue, Father, in this journey, as we continue to follow you, Father, because that's what we're all doing, Father. We're just like, Father, those men, those fishermen down in Galilee, Father, in the Gospels, and you told them, follow me, and that's what we're doing today. We're following you. So, Father, will you guide us? Will you show us? Will you speak to us? Will you minister to us? Will you give us direction and fill us, Father, with your Holy Spirit? In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Jonah's name, he means dove. A dove, someone who flies, someone who apparently represents peace. But obviously he was really not making a name for his name, but he was more like a raven. So God told him, you know, to go to Nineveh, and he went the other direction. God, you know, God speaks to us, and sometimes the Lord will say, this is where I want you to go. This is what I want you to do. And then we end up doing something completely different. So the first thing that we understand when we read the book of Jonah, the first thing is that the city is in God's heart. God has a heart for this city. He has a heart for this city. He had a heart for Nineveh. God has a heart for Fort Valley. He has a heart for Fort Valley. The city, according to chapter 4, 11, it says, "And should I not pity Nineveh, the great city, which are more than 120,000 people?" And it took Jonah 3 days to cover it. So it was a big city back in the day. And so, but God loves this city. He loved the city. Even though the city was wicked, even though the city was not probably in top 10 of visitation spots, it was none of that. But yet God had patience and mercy towards the people of Nineveh. God has his patience and mercy for the city or where we live as well. So the second thing is, God called Jonah to deliver his message to the city. In verse 2, it says, "Arise," he told them, "and go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." So he called them. He said, "Look, I'm calling you to bring a message to this city, just like God is calling us as well. He's calling us to take this great message, and he's calling us to do it." He said, "Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. That's where I want you to go." Have you ever heard so clear from God? I mean, listen, God didn't make it difficult for him. He said, "I want you to get up, I want you to go, and I want you to go and cry for this city." Very basic, plain English. And he got it, but he didn't do it. So God has called him. He called him to deliver this message. And yet he went in another different direction. In the Hebrew, these three words, arise, go, and cry, there are imperative. And it connotes a divine commissioning. He's using a direct command. He expects him to obey. He expects him to obey. You know, God has told us to take the gospel to every nation. He says, start in Jerusalem. And then he said, go to Judea, go to Samaria, and to the uttermost of the world. God has told us to take the gospel to the city of Fort Valley. We need to take the gospel to this great city. We need to take it because we have a command from the Lord that we need to do it. We need to deliver this message. We need to take this gospel, this precious gospel that God has given us, that he's entrusted to us, and we need to take it to this city because God loves this city. God loves us. He loves the people. He loves the people in this community. He loves everybody in this community. But also God had to work on the messenger first before he sent him. God also has to work in our lives as well. In verse 3, he said, "But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. And he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." He even had to pay for it. You know, we have to pay for it as well when we disobey God. It costs us something. Listen, I heard a man told me a long time ago, "Brother Dennis, God has called you to proclaim the gospel. And let me tell you something," he said, "the one who invites, hey, God has invited us. He will pay. The Lord pays good. Good. His mercies are good. His love is great." And so, but he had to work on him because there was a sense of disobedience. This is God's prophet. This is God's messenger to take this gospel to this city of Nineveh. And yet God has to deal with him. He has to deal with him because inside of him there are things that are not, they're not godly. They're not aligned with what God wants us to do. You know, sometimes we're here and God wants us to take the gospel And the first step is not to take the gospel. The first thing is to deal with us. He has to deal with us. He has to deal with you. He has to deal with me. He had to deal with Jonah before he can send them out. Because immediately when he called him, he said, go. Immediately he went in a different direction. And so he had to deal with him. Now, he began to deal with him. There were some issues that he had to address. But the first thing he needed to realign his priorities. His priorities were out of whack. His priorities, you know, he was going one way, God was going left. He said, go left, and he was going right, and vice versa. And so God begins to talk to him and says, Jonah, you need to realign your priority. You know, God told Israel, he said, and you have to love your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. That's what I want you to do. I need to be number one in your life. In order for this to happen, God needs to come back. He needs to be number one again. Nothing else, but the Lord's got to be number one. He has to be number one because he is number one. You know, if it wasn't for God, we would not be here this morning. Amen? If it wasn't for the Lord, we would not have what we have. Now, you see, sometimes God has to deal with us because sometimes pride creeps in. Yeah, and so when we look at the priorities, the first thing that he had to prioritize, he had to value life. He had to value life. You know, sometimes we just go and go and go, and we forget why we're going. We forget the reason why we can do what we do. And so God had to deal with Jonah. He had to deal with him, and he had to take him back to value life. Now, how did he do it? In verse 117. If you look with me in 1:17, he said, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. A weekend getaway, but free. How about that? Submarine style. There he was on vacation in the middle of an ocean, for free. How about that? And sometimes, you know, God has to take us to those spots so we can begin to value life again. You know, it could be that you saw a car accident and you say, you know, that could have been me. And I wouldn't be here anymore. Sometimes we have the feeling that, and people my age say, oh, I don't care about the gospel. That's for folks, you know, that are 70 and 80. Who guarantees you you're going to make it? Except God. And sometimes God has to put us in the belly of the whale so we can wake up and smell the Cuban coffee. Amen? Sometimes we got to smell the coffee and say, well, he's ready. God, I'm alive. I am alive. I have health. I can walk. I can move. I can go from point A to point B. Wow, Lord, thank you. I'm talking about just the basics of life. And God, listen, God is right there. But God could not send Jonah to Nineveh because there were things that he needed to prioritize before he can do what he was going to do. And I believe, listen, I'm praying. I hope you're praying. Listen, I can't wait to see what God is going to do in this city. Amen? I don't sound too excited, but let me try it again. I can't wait to see what God is going to do in this city. God is going to do, not us. But he's got to do some pruning. Just like we saw in the prayer garden, they're pruned. Sometimes God has to prune us. He's got to bring us back again and say, you know, I shouldn't be here. Wow. Second thing is God reminds him of the blessing of the call. Chapter 2, verse 10 says, then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. Wow. And he said, I cry out to the Lord because of my affliction. And he answered me. Out of the belly of the shell, oh, I cry, and you heard my voice. Think about that. He's praying inside the belly of a fish. This morning was different. The praise was different. See, depends what we're going through. That's the quality of praise the Lord receives. If everything is going good and dandy, deposits are coming in, everything is well, car is running good, house is doing good. But listen, when you're in ministry, and I know the folks who, and we are so thankful to the praise team, they can sense when we're praising God. We were praising God this morning here. Without knowing, maybe you're in the belly of the fish today. Because there is something when God takes us and put us in those circumstances that the best of praise comes alive. How many know what I'm talking about? When we get to the cliff, when we say, I can't take it anymore, Lord, and we get to where Jonah was, listen, there's nothing left. Sometimes God just puts us in those situations so we can get purified praise to his name. It depends on the circumstance. And that's where Jonah was. Now he's now wondering, how is he going to get out of there? There is no GPS. There is no radars. There is no Navy, Brother James, with radar. Say, oh, there he is. We can see him. There's something inside of that fish. There's nothing there except God. You get it now, Jonah? I'm going to send you. It's like we tell our kids, you're going to make your bed. Amen? And you're going to do it right. You're going to clean your room. How many moms and grandmothers remember those days? Did they do it? You tried. God tried with Jonah. You didn't. Okay, baby, I want you to clean your room, okay? You probably already had the belt in your hand. Amen? Look, young man, you're going to clean that room. Yes, ma'am. That's what he did. There's no escape. He knows he's going to get out of there. Only a miracle. Only a miracle will get him out of there. But do you see what God did? Fish spit him out. And I love what God did where the fish spit him out. Already on shore. Think about if I could swim or not swim. Maybe something else. Listen, if God could have told that fish in the middle of the ocean, throw him out. There would be sharks waiting for him. We didn't know if he could swim or not. you see God's grace, love? My preaching professor used to say, regurgitate. Beautiful word. You know what? I had to Google it. Spit them out in the shore. Wow. Isn't God good? Put him in the shore. Gave him another opportunity. How many opportunities are giving? We live in a lost city. 5 miles around this church, 14,000. According to our experts in the evangelism department, 84% of people in any given county in Georgia are not in church on Sunday. God has called us to be. What is God going to have to do to bring the message? Listen, perhaps it has nothing to do with what you are going through. Look, God is not there to punish us and say, okay, I'm coming after him today. No. Everything God does has a purpose. What you're going through right now, it may be just a fade back to God. How important was this message? See, Jonah had another problem. And his problem in 4:5, he says, so Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade till he might see what would become of the city. He was self-centered. Jonah was just about himself. Just entitled, well, I own this. It's about me. He only worried about himself. You worried about people? Do you worry about where they're going to spend eternity? Are you concerned about the lostness? Let me remind you that good people don't go to heaven. People who repent of their sin. That hasn't changed. Since Jesus came out of the tomb. It doesn't matter how much the culture changed. The word of God does not change. It is the same. The same God that spoke to Saul on the road to Damascus is the one here right now. He transformed his life, and he can transform somebody's life in 2025. God is still the same. He's still on the throne. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But you see, Jonah was just stuck on himself. It's all about me. I want to make sure I got what I need, what I have, what I do. I want to do my hobbies. I want to do this. And listen, don't let those things become your God. It's so easy to go home and look at my house and say, oh, what a house do I have. Look at my neighbors. Oh, look, he's in a trailer. Look at me. He's got a bike and I got a car. I got a 2009 Toyota Corolla, that's what I got. 2007 Toyota Sequoia. They changed the pistons on the 2009. Mechanic told me, you got a brand new 2009. That's what I got. People need Jesus. 2020. We need to start worrying about the city God has us. You may say, well, brother, we're too far away from the ocean to be in the belly of a fish. Is there anything impossible for God? He may not be a fish, but he could be a tree. He may not be a fish, but he could be a drunk driver. He may not be a fish, but some nut will take the red light. Quit worrying more about the lostness in our community, not about ourselves. Where Jonah was, needed to look in the mirror, needed to do a self-assessment. 6 foot and the Lord God prepared a plan and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But as morning dawned the next day, God prepared the worm. It is so, and so damaged the plant that it withered. It's interesting, in Jonah you have all these big creatures and small creatures doing damage. He needed to look in the mirror. He needed to look at himself and say, where am I? What am I doing? What is happening with me? What's going on? But then the main reason why he didn't want to go. See, there's always something that only God knows. He didn't want to go because Nineveh was a city, Syria. And he disliked the Assyrians. I didn't want to use the word hate. Exactly what. He wanted them destroyed, gone, wiped out. I don't want to see them. That'll. God needed to work in Jonah. See, God knew that. He said, I cannot use you like this. You're going to go, but I can't send you like this. There's a few things that we need to talk about. There's a few things that you and I need to deal with before you go to Nineveh. He needed to go to the city. Not for his sake, for the sake of the Lord. Do you know when a person comes to know Christ, his name is written in the book of life? God has given us the Holy Spirit. When you repent of your sins and you say, God, I'm sorry, I'm a sinner. You died on the cross for me, Lord, and I accept you, and now I'm saved. That's the beginning, being a witness. You can't share the gospel. You can't talk about a God that we do not know. That's where it begins. And it's so powerful that when we receive Christ in our heart, God comes to live in us. Think about that. And now this journey begins. God is in us. Wherever I go to Walmart, Dollar General, God is with me. Dollar Tree, I go to the flea market. I go to the garage sale, wherever I go, God is with me. When I go to sickness and troubles and problems in life, God is right there with me. He's in me. You're not alone anymore. We're not alone. God is with us. Emmanuel, God with us. And we can call upon him. God is a merciful God. Nineveh was wicked. Jonah wanted gone. But God is a merciful God. He wanted the city to be rescued. He wanted the city to be saved. And in 4:2, he says, so he prayed to the Lord and said, ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore, I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. It's interesting how quickly Jonah forgotten that he was out of it. He said, when I was in my country, how many times God come to the rescue? This is why we're here today. And here is Jonah, already forgetting what just happened. God has done miracles in us. We can all give witness for what God has done in our lives. He won't do it. I think from the Finding Nemo story, I think he became a fish. He became Dory. Short-term memory lost. He forgot all about it. God doesn't forget. Charles Finney interesting. He gave us the definition of revival. He said revivals is a renewed conviction of sin and repentance, followed by an intense desire to live in obedience to God. It is giving up one's will to God in deep humility. He wasn't a preacher. He was a lawyer. He was an attorney. That's what he was. And he began to trace where the laws of the land were coming from, and he let it Bible. He began to look at what was happening, and he began to study scripture, and all of a sudden he realized, and this was interesting, he was the choir director of the church, but he didn't know God. He was leading people to praise God, but he did not know God. Listen, we got to get this clear. Being a member of a Baptist church or Methodist church or Pentecostal church or Presbyterian church or Catholic church does not save. You know who saves? Our Lord Jesus Christ. He's in the saving business. That's what he does. No one else can save us. Religion cannot save you. Only Jesus can. So the church said they took him based on talent. The man is talented in music. So he led the choir. And yet he was struggling with his faith. He didn't know that he was saved. But one day in the wood, God got a hold of him. Surrender. And after leading all, listen, after leading all these people to praise God, he finally came to know the Master. God began to work in his life. It was a process. And there was a time where he felt that God wanted him to go somewhere. For the big cities, there was Philadelphia. They're going to the Super Bowl today. He'll be happy then. New York City. Rochester, New York, where he did not want to go. At the time in the 1820s, it was the worst city in America. there was corruption in the court. Prostitution. Morale to its lowest. And he said, I do not want to go there. The church was calling him, said, we just split. That morning, he already made up his mind that he was not going to go to Rochester. I'm not going there. You know, sometimes the places we, you and I do not want to go is where God has the greatest blessing. I don't want to deal with him. Maybe you're just moving away your blessings. I don't want to go there. Oh, for sure, I don't want to go there. But he didn't want to go. Six months later, that morning, there were two ships, one heading to Philly and New York, and one going to Rochester. And they were at the port with his wife and said, he told his wife, we're not going to go to New York or Philly. God spoke to me. We have to go. 6 months later, 100,000, almost the whole entire city. Some say that when the whole story, his life was finished, this is in the 1820s, over 250,000 people. Yet, beginning of the second great awakening. What does the city need? What does Rochester need? It needs Jesus. Fort Valley needs Jesus. And we got him. We have him. We're coming out of the belly of the fish. I still smell like catfish. People need Jesus. You got Jesus? That's what people need. Second thing, God needs godly, fearing followers. You know why we don't do what we do? Sometimes everything is before us, so we can do damage, so we can hurt somebody, but we don't do it because we are God's people. That's why. And the scale has to be balanced. Our words have to be balanced. Jesus said, let your ye be ye and your no be no. If you say yes, go. If you say no, stay home and watch football. One more game today at 6 o'clock. But don't say yes. Don't show up. Know why? God knows it. This city needs people who love the Lord, godly, a transaction, way of life, way we do things. We're God's people. We are God's people. That's what we are. For this century, for a time as this, as Esther said, we are it. Don't look to the right, don't look to the, it's me. It's you. If you are born again, you're it. You're the one. Hurry up and share. You're it. It's not going to happen. We're God's people. We need revival. Revival. This is what we need. Revelation 2, 1 through 4. And to the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars of the right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, I know your works, your labor, your patience, that you cannot bear those who are evil. You have tested those who say they are apostles and they're not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered, have patience, have labor for my name's sake, and have not been weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. You remember when you got saved? Cloud nine. I said, Lord, I cannot believe it. I was missing out. Feels so good. It's like when you fall in love. Finally, for the first time. You'll never forget. Maybe you didn't even brush your teeth. Maybe you didn't want to take a bath for 3 days, like Joe, just to have the smell behind you. Maybe you took those clothes and you still put them in the closet. You never wore them again. You remember that when you're in love, you're kind of like a zombie. What's wrong with him? Never forget. We need to go back. We need to go back. Men to need to become. Going to win this city? Men, we need to stay. Need to come to home plate, grab the bat and say, it's my turn to hit a home run. My family. We need to go back and say the words of Joshua 24:15. Remember what he said? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Man, we need to stand up. If you're going to live under this roof, I told my kids, while we're here, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to go to church every Sunday, whether it's one church here or another church. We're going to be in church Sunday, kids. I want you to know that. Now, I said, when you start paying Flint, Houston Utilities, Dishnet, then you make the decision. While you're in this roof, under this roof, we're going to go to church. That's what we're going to do. Non-negotiable. That's what we need. End up again. Lord, you said I'm the head of this household. We need to be spiritually. We're the ones who need to say, let's pray. Let's have a Bible study. Let's go to church and praise the Lord. Let's go to the church and serve the Lord. That's what we need. We need to share the gospel. God reminds us that he is a God for second chance. God put him back. Said, Jonah, get up again. He went. And the whole city repented. Father, we thank you so much for today. Father, we give you all the honor and all the glory. Father, we come to you and humble ourselves. There's anybody here today that does not know God. They are the day of salvation. God loves you, cares for you, watching over you, he's protecting you. He wants to save you. He wants to save you. Are you here today and you do not know God? You want to give your life to Christ today? Just where you are, you can stand right there. And I just need to surrender my life. God loves me. Cares for me. other request. You have a prayer need. You already heard Miss Lisa. Oh. You have a prayer request. Stand up where you are. Gonna pray. Stand up. Anybody else? A prayer request. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Praise the Lord. 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 See you, Miss Wayne. Praise the Lord, Miss Cindy. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? If you can't stand, just raise your hand right there. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord in the back. Hello, Miss Selma. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, Brother Vic. Praise the Lord. Father, we come to you, Father, and we give you all the honor and glory. Father, you know our need. You know where we are. Can you do it again in our lives? You manifest. You open the Red Sea again. You say the word again, be healed. And heal, Father, loved ones, people who are dear to us. Father, will you manifest yourself? May we see, Father, like the servant or the centurion, that when the centurion got home, his servant was already healed. Can you allow us to see that again? God, you're in the throne. You're on the throne, Lord. You do a miracle in our own life. Father, we thank you. Love you. In Christ's name.
We stand together and sing 437. Wherever he leads, I'll go.